It's called the Church of Jeddism. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. You are listening to Law and Gospel. Here we go on this January the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2018. And with us on the phone is the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, although I'm not sure the force is within me. No, I don't think I told you this. I had a call from a listener who was asking about that. Is it appropriate to talk about the force is with you? And then all of a sudden, you came up without any talk from me on this Church of how do you pronounce it? Jeddism?
Jeddism, yeah.
Yeah. Which is the Star Wars understanding of the Force within you. What I was unaware of is a whole religion has come about because of this.
Right. Well, it was quite a journey in finding that it was something that you and Mark Smith had talked about on Tuesday in the hymn when you talked about justification, mercy, and grace. And how we in Christianity, especially in Lutheranism, talk about undeserved grace and how God's been gracious to us. So I started looking at various religions, and this popped up.
Yes. Oh, and one of the articles you sent me, the Post-Dispatch often has so-called religious people writing articles. This one was a gentleman named Weeks, a pastor of a Manchester United Methodist Church, and he had contributed to this, and I could not believe how enamored he was with this whole understanding of the force within you.
Yeah, if you look at that whole scenario, what comes to mind is that term universalism.
You know? Yes, explain that.
Well, that's where everybody goes to heaven. You know, you've got various routes to go with, and that's one of the things, tenets of the Church of Jeddism, is whatever you believe, you have your channel, so to speak, that gets you to heaven.
Yes, he indicates that Jeddism is explained, and it has a website, is a new philosophy supporting the idea of one all-powerful life energy force that connects all living things in the universe together. And he goes so far to say, and I'm quoting right from this Methodist pastor, that this comes about through faith fellowships. And he gives an example on Christmas Day when 1,000 volunteers went to community centers throughout the St. Louis area, and they worked on projects that benefited 20 different charities. It was co-sponsored by the Jewish Community Relations Council and the Islamic Foundation of Greater St. Louis. And it enabled people from different faiths to work side by side. And he said, such a witness of unity is possible only because of religious institutions. I am thankful for and inspired by devout people working in mosques and synagogues to enable this, especially during a time of unrest in the Mideast. Mm-hmm. Since when do we consider unbelievers to be devout people?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to, I read that too, and it reminded me of about a year or so ago when we had Dr. Schmidt on Law and Gospel, and he described faith was only talking about the Christian faith. God never talks about faith of the unbeliever.
No, it's never found. And yet he really thinks that this force within us will get us closer, believe it or not, to God. Here's one of his paragraphs. There is certainly no perfect faith community. Oh really? I thought the Holy Christian Church was a perfect faith community. Anyway, and the spiritual but not religious will always point that out. That's okay. As we work together in the midst of our imperfections, we will grow closer to God as we grow closer to each other.
Mm.
If that's not Satan talking, I don't know who it is. Satan loves to give the impression that when we do works of mercy, and we in the Lutheran Church do join in works of mercy with Jews and Muslims. For example, the March for Life, the pro-life movement, there were just not Christians there. There were Jews there were Muslims there, etc. We don't have any problem with that, but we would never say that this gets them to grow closer to God.
It's a very much a work righteousness. Same thing I ran across when I was looking at this in the Muslim. When they talk about grace, they talk about they do their works and then they hope that God is gracious to them.
Exactly. The Methodist pastor does give an insight here as to how this comes about. He says, major religions arise from a spiritual search. A revelation gives perspective to the human experience. Life has meaning and our lives have purpose. And therefore, the spiritual but not religious crowd. Now, I think what he's referring to are the nuns, N-O-N-E-S.
Yes.
They no longer are part of an organized religion. They're still spiritual. And he says they're often turned off by the baggage that accompanies religious institutions.
Mm.
And then what are their complaints? Judgmental congregations and hypocritical members, that's understandable that they complain about that. Well, this is a Christian pastor. In the minds of unbelievers, hypocritical members, they think, are Christians who want to be good and then they sin. That's not the definition of a hypocritical member. That's the definition of a Christian.
Yeah, Christians, one of the requirements of for the kingdom is that you are a sinner.
That's exactly right. You confess that sin. That doesn't make you a hypocrite that you can't stop from sinning. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be a Christian and they really know they are not. And then, of course, judgmental congregations, he's probably referring, because he's Methodist, that we make a judgment against women who murder their babies. We make a judgment against Muslims who think that they can kill infidels. We make a judgment against those who think that the homosexual lifestyle is okay. But those are proper judgments, and we make them in order to bring a person back into a relationship with God if he left it, or into a new one through repentance.
Are we really making the judgment call, or is that a judgment that God is making in his scriptures?
Yes, this is really a good point. I once was in a meeting with Lutheran pastors, and we were talking about, at that point, the lottery had just come about. And so one of the pastors said, I believe that if a member buys a lottery ticket, that is a sin. So after the meeting, I bought a lottery ticket, I went to his office, I showed it to him, and I said, what are you going to do about it? And he said, well, nothing. And I said, well, then don't ever say something is a sin that you're not going to bring another pastor up on charges concerning.
You know, I've made thousands of dollars on the lottery.
How? By not spending?
By not playing it.
No, I wanted to give God one opportunity, and so I bought one, and he didn't do anything, so he lost his opportunity. I guess that's one way of looking at it, eh?
Well, you know, I don't want to digress too far from what we were talking about, but it often reminds me of Abraham when he goes in Genesis and captures those foreign kings that had come into Sodom and Gomorrah, and and took his nephew Lot off into captivity. He comes back to Melchizedek, and he gives an offering to Melchizedek. And those kings want of Sodom and Gomorrah want to give Abraham some money, and Abraham says, "Don't want it, don't need it." You know, their gifts were rejected.
Boy. Yeah, another article you sent me talks about how this belief system, Jediist, came about. And it came about founded by Daniel M. Jones in 2007. And what I want to do is read a little bit about how he considers this. He says, "Our minds are like sponges which soak up information daily. In order to keep our minds clean, we must rinse them of negative force, which is done through meditation when you focus your mind on the force. For hundreds, if not thousands of years, people across the world had spiritual beliefs that did not quite fit into any categorized religion, such as Christianity, Buddhism, or Islam." Now, as soon as I read that, you know what came to my mind? During the time of the Reformation, there was a group of false prophets, and I'll tell you what they were called, Schwärmerei. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, kind of a spiritist.
Yes. The English translation often is enthusiasts.
Yes.
These are people who decided to come up with their own understanding of God because of what was within them, not according to the Bible. And so this has gone on for a long time, that people prefer to have a religion that they think comes from themselves rather than from God himself.
Mm.
Now, I just told you that they need to rinse themselves of negative force. And I don't understand what they're talking about, because it says, "The Church of Jediism accepts people from all faiths and beliefs, including atheism."
Yeah.
"And you don't have to change your beliefs to come a Jediist. We encourage all our members to accept and respect the beliefs of others." So my question would be, okay, a member of the Ku Klux Klan joined you. You're going to respect his beliefs and accept them?
They're really going to get along. or a Muslim that's caught in ISIS, like in Afghanistan, where they attacked Save Our Children.
Or pedophiles.
But, yes.
I mean, more and more programs are showing, or are pretending to say, that pedophilia, people are born with that particular sickness, and therefore they shouldn't be held responsible for it any more than somebody who is born as transgendered or a homosexual isn't supposed to be held responsible. That's the kind of culture we're in right now, and Jediism is just another way of saying, listen to the force within you.
In fact, embedded in one of those statements is transgenderism, or any kind of sexism that you want, that should be allowed too.
They ask, how do we follow and live our lives? And they say, there are no strict rules in Jediism, as we believe in freedom, and so joining the Church of Jediism would not pose any restrictions on your life. Oh, well, that's nice. So I can continue to rob a bank, beat my wife, mistreat my children. I don't have to have any restriction on my life. See, the word restriction is just another word for having a law that you have to obey that you don't agree with.
Well, they do say that you're supposed to concentrate on the light there and on that force. That's part of the cleaning of the mind.
Well, speaking of the light, remember what they say, what happens after death? The light or positive energy in your body departs and joins with the Force.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. I mean, they want everyone to become aware of the force within them. And so I think any Christian who would ever say, let the force be with you, they may be thinking that they're talking about Jesus, but that is totally inappropriate because that's not how that's being defined by this religion and most other people. I really believe the nuns, we've talked quite a bit about this, those who are not affiliated with a denomination but are still spiritual, I think they've fallen into this trap that they think that what is really true is what I believe within myself rather than what some God is trying to tell me.
Right. And I think we have to bear in mind, though, that this is something that's kind of evolved itself in the 21st century. In the 90s, they weren't talking this kind of stuff. And I'd say, well, one article I read said that by the year 2001, there were about 400,000 that adhered to this so-called Jedi religion. By 2007, this guy sets up this church. So it's kind of gotten kind of out of whack.
I think down through the ages, you can find this religion there. Remember the Charismatics when they were really popular? They would speak in tongues, and then somebody had to interpret it. And many a time, what they interpreted was not found in the Bible anywhere.
No. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
This is just a demonic religion. Today we call it Jediism. In Luther's day, it was the enthusiasts. In Paul's day, you know, it was the Judaizers who said, you Gentiles cannot become a Christian unless you're circumcised and follow the ceremonial laws. That's another form of this force within you listening to it rather than the Word of God.
Would this, in a sense, fall under 2 Timothy chapter 4, where it talks about having itching ears?
Well, the reason we love itching ears is it's a self-defense mechanism against being afraid of God. Who's afraid of the force if it's within you?
Yeah, and all part of you, yes.
Yeah, I have no understanding when they talk about that you need to cleanse your mind. If they're accepting all religions and all points of view, what needs cleansing?
Yeah, it's anything that you're back to what you said earlier. It's just about anything you want to do.
Yes, it finally comes down to what they think that is the goal of their church. They want to spread this positive energy and a feeling of connection or oneness between people of all cultures, religions, ages, beliefs, and backgrounds.
Yeah, because the more you dig into it, they really don't describe the dark side, the parts of it. And
yeah, that's a good point. Nowhere in the articles, at least I got, was there any understanding of what the dark side was, except to be kind to other people.
Yes, well, the goal of a Jedi is do unto others as others would do unto you. They don't quite say it that succinctly, but that's about what I was reading there.
Yeah, for example, they even encourage you to get involved with martial arts in order as a kind of a self-defense. And here's what they say. Learning to defend yourself offers a sense of self-security, and learning to fight enables you to protect the weak and vulnerable. But they never describe who are the weak and vulnerable.
Yeah.
Now, in this Methodist pastor, it would be, for example, illegal aliens who have come into our country and are breaking the law. And I mean, you know, a number of them have been arrested for crimes and this sort of thing. Not to say they're all not like that, but I'll tell you, the government of the United States has got really something on their hands right now to try and solve this problem in a way that's going to be fair, equitable, etc. But it's just going to be interesting which way it goes.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I know of those that have come into the country legally, gotten their green cards, and have participated in the immigration process as set up by our country.
Yes, that's the way it should be done. And so we're just going to have to wait to see what kind of decisions are going to be made in this area. Because the laws were not really followed in keeping illegal aliens out of the country or deporting them. There was a lot of... And so now they're hurting, and it's because the laws of the land were not followed.
Well, back to this. How would you witness to one of these that would come and talk to you about that the force is within you?
I would... First of all, realize the reason they're doing this is because of their fear of the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible, they think, says you get to heaven by your works, you go to hell because of your misdeeds. So they have a force within them that changes that perception of God. Some people become atheists. Others just deny the religious connotations and no longer attend the denomination. Although I have to say, a number of the denominations that exist, I wouldn't want to attend either because of their false teaching, the neglect of infant baptism, the refusal to believe that it's the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the idea that after your death you have to go to a place to get punished for the consequences of your sins. I wouldn't want to belong to a denomination like that, and I think that's part of the reason why we have so many nuns. And that's why the Lutheran Church needs to really be speaking the message we have, because it's a message that they have not understood, many a time never heard about. And I think it is the counter to this fear of God, because they believe they're saved by their works.
And haven't you said before, you've often heard that from your sermons or from your witness? I've never heard it that way before.
Yeah, that's the most important thing that you want to hear after a sermon, because you are opening up their minds to the way God thinks. I often say the two purposes of a sermon is to get people to think like the true God rather than as they normally do. And the second thing is to comfort them rather than put them under a legalistic view that watch out what you do so you don't go to hell.
It really, in a sense, kind of comes down to, as I hear you talking, and as we've covered this, it's the two religions that we see going on in our society. We either follow the God of the Scriptures or we follow a man's religion.
And all of man's religions, in reality, listen to the force within them.
In them, yeah.
In other words, their own ideas. And I can't tell you that one conversation I had with the atheist, he says, I just can't believe in a God who would decide to send you to heaven or hell depending on your works. And I said to him, guess what? I don't believe in that God either.
Yeah.
He was very Lutheran in his negative view about God, but he wasn't Lutheran at all in his positive view about God. And I think that's the way that we reach out to people, to give them a view of God, of his mercy and grace, rather than the idea of being a God of justice, as many people think.
And how is it that you go through those three elements, justice, mercy, and grace?
Well, justice, you get what you deserve. Mercy, you don't get what you deserve. Grace, you get what you don't deserve.
Yeah.
What, are you becoming like Mark Smith and can't remember?
I just learned to ask in a different way.
That's fine. That's good. No problem at all. Well, I appreciate being on, and especially finding this. I was really quite unaware of an official religion on the basis of Star Wars, but it shows how powerful Satan is to delude people into going against the true God.
Yeah, it was an eye-opener for me as well.
All right. Next week, Law and Gospel again with Rumination Thursday with Wes Reimnitz. And if you have any questions you'd like us to address, Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. From Wes Reimnitz and Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.